Thank you.
Case number 10627, Mateo Sosa Loco, east of Route 1, south of West Virginia Avenue, being units 1 and 2 within Lighthouse Square. A variance from the minimum number of parking spaces requirement.
Name and address.
Joseph Osimo, 1200 Bank Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21202.
Sir.
Matt Griffin.
Address.
3718 Chatham Way, Frankfort, Delaware.
Sir. You both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Sir.
B-A-L.
Is he going to speak also?
B-A-L.
Yeah, Mario, get me this one.
B-A-L.
Okay.
Your name and address.
Mark Davidson, 18072 Davidson Drive, Milton, Delaware.
And do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening. Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, for the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant and the owner in connection with this application. The applicant is Matt Griffin. He's the owner of Mateo's Salsa Loco Restaurant, which is a new business, a restaurant that is planning on opening. The owner is Joseph Bassamo. Mr. Bassamo actually owns the shopping center in which the restaurant will be located. The site is located on the east side of Route 1. It's in the unincorporated area of Fenwick Island, and this is an application for a variance from the parking requirements of the zoning ordinance. Again, Mr. Mark Davison from DC Group is also with us. He did the site plan, and also to answer any questions you may have. The current requirements for parking in a shopping center, and as far as I know, these have been the requirements since the zoning ordinance was adopted, are 5 spaces per 1,000 square feet of leasable area in a shopping center. The shopping center has approximately 9,600 square feet, which per the ordinance would require 48 parking spaces. There's actually going to be 33 spaces existing on this property, which results in a deficiency of 15 parking spaces. So 15 is in effect the variance that's being requested. The parking space issue is not the result of Mr. Griffin's restaurant. It's actually related to the shopping center, which, as I said, is owned by Mr. Bassamo. This is a very unique situation that's also somewhat complicated, and I thought it would be most clearly explained by going through an exhibit book that I prepared that shows the history of the shopping center and how we propose to resolve the issue. So with your permission, I'll have an exhibit book that I'll submit.
Sure.
While the exhibit books are being handed out, I do want to state that the requested variance would resolve the problem that I'll be explaining in the quickest and fairest manner possible. The variance was suggested by the county zoning office. And as I'll be explaining, and I think as you will see from the facts, it's quite likely from a legal point of view that the shopping center parking is already legal and already protected as it exists. And I'll explain that as I go through the material. So with that being said, let me kind of lead you through the exhibit booklet. The exhibit mark number 1 is a photo, as you can see. And the photo shows the shopping center in question, and that's the Sure. The building that's marked in red, again, as I said, it's located on the east side of Route 1. It actually is located on three different tax map parcels, parcels 82, 98, and 99, and it's located between West Virginia and Virginia Avenue. Later, I'm going to mention the Sensations property, and just for reference, that's marked in yellow across the street from the shopping center. Exhibit 2 is just a computer record for parcel 82, and that just shows that Mr. Basalmo is the owner of that parcel. Exhibit 3 is two pages, and what that shows is building permit number 60539, which was a building permit for a new building containing four stores. It's on property that's zoned C1, general commercial, and that building permit was issued on December 2nd, 1980. You can note, I'll reference, but it's on the building permit. There is a note on there that the building permit was approved by the by planning and zoning, per a site plan, and the building permit again is dated and initialed by DC, who at the time I believe the DC probably referred to Dennis Cordry, who was working in that office at that time. Exhibit number 4 again is computer record for tax map parcel 98, and again that also verifies that Mr. Osama was the owner of that parcel. Exhibit number 5 again is two pages, and that is a building permit number 75574. That shows that it was a building permit for a new building. It was actually an addition to existing store, again zoned commercial. It was issued on December 13, 1983. Again, like the other building permit, it was approved by the planning and zoning. And that is initialed by MM, who I'm sure was Michael Moore, who worked in the planning and zoning office at that time. Now, this permit was actually for both tax map parcel 98 and tax map parcel 99. Exhibit 6, again, is the computer record for parcel 99, again, owned by Mr. Basalmo. And you can see the note on there referring to the building permit that I just mentioned, that building permit covered improvements that were done to this parcel. So as of sometime in approximately 1984, all of the stores in the shopping center had been built and existed, and that was based on valid building permits issued from the Planning and Zoning Department. And in fact, those stores were leased and have been used since that time. So this shopping center has been in existence and utilized for approximately 26 years. Exhibit number 7, again, is an additional building permit. This is building permit 200684. This was issued on September 12, 2001, and it was actually a building permit issued for a sign at the shopping center for Lighthouse Liquors. Lighthouse Liquors is the tenant in the southern end of the shopping center. The permit at the bottom of the application, the application states, and this was approved again by Planning and Zoning, that the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission approval of this permit application pertains only to compliance with Sussex County zoning ordinances, doesn't indicate compliance with other ordinances, but it does indicate compliance with the zoning ordinance. And then the second item there is actually the building permit that was issued for the sign, again, in 2001. And actually, I might have that date wrong on there. But again, the permit that was issued does state that this permit certifies that the structure premises described in permit 200684 conforms and complies with the requirements of the building code as well as the zoning code for Sussex County and may be occupied as of that date.
Which exhibit are you reading from?
It's from the second part, the second page of Exhibit 7.
Now, that references something issued, I guess the CO was issued for 1608, correct?
For what?
April of 08.
Yeah, the permit application is dated September 12, 2001.
How did we get 7 years?
I have no idea. I don't know whether that's a mistake or whether the sign is newer than I thought it was, but that permit, the application wouldn't still be good after that period of time. I don't think the date is critically important. I think the fact is the building permit was issued and the sign was located there. And at that time, the county indicated that the zoning ordinance was complied with. Exhibit number 8 are just minutes from the actual Board of Adjustment meeting that there was a variance that was needed for that sign. So this matter, or this shopping center, actually had been before the board at a previous time in connection with that sign. So basically, from 1984, when the shopping center was completed, through 2001, there were no problems with the shopping center. There were no violations. The county, even in the permits that were granted, indicated that the shopping center was in compliance with the county zoning ordinance. So, as I said, the shopping center has been occupied since 84. Stores have always been used, and it just existed. It's a long-standing shopping center in that area. Lighthouse Liquors is a tenant. As I said, they're in the southern portion of the shopping center. They've been there since the 1980s. There's a shoe store that's located, I'll say, in the middle. They've also been there, a long-standing tenant. They've been there since the 1980s. And in the north end of the shopping center, there had been a gift store located there for about 17 years. The gift store basically closed, and that's the location where Mr. Griffin's restaurant is to be located, at the north end of the shopping center.
And those structures are all connected, Mr. Fuquay?
Yes. There's not internal connection, but I mean, one large.
There's no separation on the lot lines.
The four buildings to the north end were constructed in the 1980 permit. The Lighthouse Liquors building was constructed in the 1983 building permit. So as I said, the gift store space became available this year. Mr. Griffin entered into a lease basically for that space. And up to now, everything's fine, and everything had been fine for all that period of time. But this is where things get a little unusual and a little bit crazy. Exhibit number 9 is a building permit that Mr. Griffin obtained. It's building permit 279964. It was issued on March 10th, and it was issued to do interior work for the new restaurant. And Mr. Griffin has basically undertaken and completed that work. And again, this permit has the same language on it as I referred to before, stating that the Planning and Zoning Commission approval of the permit pertains only to compliance with Sussex County zoning ordinances. Again, as I said, this is the building that actually was built under the 1980 permit. Exhibit number 10, on March 30th, Mr. Basama was sent a letter from the Planning and Zoning Office basically stating that complaints had been received about parking issues at the location and reciting what the parking requirements were, and advising that if the parking couldn't be met, it was suggested that an application for a variance be filed with the Board of Adjustment. And it also stated that no certificate of occupancy would be granted for this restaurant until this matter was resolved. So this is the first and the only time that any question ever came up regarding the required parking in almost 30 years of the shopping center being in existence. Mr. Davidson of DC Group, exhibit number 11, he submitted a letter at my request stating that per his calculations, the shopping center, the 9,600 square feet, would require 48 parking spaces. Per the site plan that there's the same photo as you have in your book, again, there's parking on the Route 1 side of the property, parking on the north side off of West Virginia, and parking off Virginia Avenue that would total 33 parking spaces. Now, there's never at any time been more than 33 parking spaces at this location. There may have been fewer than that, but there's never been more than 33 parking spaces. And I think, as you can see from the actual site plan, it's physically impossible to locate any additional parking spaces on this property since there is no additional space. The site is basically improved with the buildings, the stores, and the parking lot. Now, referring back to what I mentioned when I started, based on the history that I just reviewed with you, it's my legal opinion that the county would probably be barred or stopped from enforcing this requirement on the shopping center for what I think are obvious reasons. Mr. Bassamo has acquired, in my opinion, what's called vested rights to continue to operate as he has, and the county would very well be stopped from enforcing this provision due to the fact that they haven't taken any action in 27 years to do anything about it. But again, I just want to reserve that. That's not what we're here about tonight. We're here about tonight to request the variance based on these facts. Mm-hmm. So after the 27 years, this is the first time this issue has really come up. And it certainly is not a situation where we want to get involved in litigation. We, particularly Mr. Griffin, needs immediate resolution of the problem. He's been put in a very unfortunate situation. Again, he has nothing to do with this parking issue. He basically was getting ready to open his restaurant. He actually was approved for a restaurant liquor license last week. He already basically missed Memorial Day weekend, and as you know, in any type of beach business, a business lives or dies to a large extent based on a fairly short summer season. He's paid for renovations that he's done to the inside of the building. He's paid for the building permit. He's paid part of the sewer impact fees, and he's purchased equipment and furniture for the restaurant. So that's kind of where we arrive at from this. What we did attempt to do was everything we could do to try to resolve the problem, and if not resolve it, then at least mitigate the issue. So toward that goal, if you remember from the photo I showed you, exhibit number one, Mr. Bassamo also owns the commercial parcel across the street, which I refer to as the Sensations property. That's where the Sensations store is located. But Mr. Bassamo actually owns the property and leases it. But that site can be used for some additional parking. And if I refer back to the exhibits, exhibit number 12 is a letter from the president of Lighthouse Liquors. And what he indicates in there that he had originally raised an objection about the restaurant because of the parking problem. And that may very well have been what initiated this whole problem. But he indicates in there that he would rescind any Lighthouse Liquors complaints filed in relation to the opening of the restaurant based on the proposed solution that Mr. Bassamo discussed with him. Exhibit number 13 is a letter from Patricia Suchman, and she is the building official and the code enforcement officer for the town of Fenwick Island. And just for clarification purposes, Mr. Bassamo Shopping Center is located in the unincorporated area of Sussex County, but not in Fenwick Island, which of course is why we're before you tonight. But the Sensations property across the street is actually located in the town of Fenwick Island. So it's subject to the town of Fenwick Island zoning requirements. Now, as that letter states from the building official, The Sensation store requires 14 parking spaces under the Fenwick zoning code. And there actually are 22 parking spaces that are located there. So the Sensation store actually has 8 parking spaces above and beyond what's actually required by the Fenwick Island ordinance. Exhibit number 14 is a letter from Mr. Basalmo. Mr. Basalmo, as the owner of both properties, authorizes the use of the 8 parking spaces at Sensations, the extra 8 parking spaces, that they can be utilized as part of the shopping center for the tenants and employees. And exhibit number 15 is from David Betts, who's with S&S Properties, who does business as Sensations. And again, they're indicating that they have no problem with sharing that parking, as I have mentioned. So, again, technically, the shopping center under the required parking spaces per the ordinance are 15 spaces short, but with the use of the 8 parking spaces across the street, that would actually reduce the deficiency to 7 parking spaces. So ultimately, we're requesting a variance of 7 spaces. We're requesting a variance of 15 spaces with the condition that 8 spaces would be available for use by the shopping center on the Sensations parcel. I'm going to submit, when I finish a proposed resolution or motion, it basically summarizes what I just said, and that would be a motion to approve this application for a variance from the parking regulations for Lighthouse Square Shopping Center, which is the shopping center, by granting a variance of 15 on-site parking spaces with the condition that tenants and employees of the Lighthouse Square Shopping Center are and will be permitted to use 8 parking spaces at the Sensations parcel, and I refer to the tax map number, located on the west side of Route 1 across from the Lighthouse Square Shopping Center. In conclusion, as you know, there are 5 legal requirements for variances, and I just want to kind of briefly touch on those. The first one is a unique situation or circumstances to give rise to it. In the interest of time, I'm not going to repeat myself other than to say that we have a unique, unusual, and quite frankly bizarre situation where this has existed and operated for 27 years, and all of a sudden the problem surfaces in 2001. Second requirement, there's no possibility that this can be resolved. There's no possibility, as you can see physically, from locating any more parking spaces on the site. Again, fortunately, because of Mr. Basalmo's ownership of the parcel across the street, we can utilize those 8 parking spaces to at least minimize the deficiency. The situation, again, was not created by the applicant. Now, I'll tell you, I have no idea how this situation occurred. I really do not know how it happened. Obviously, when the shopping center was built, there were site plans submitted. If there had been a deficiency in parking, then a building permit wouldn't have been issued. Now, this all happened back in 1980 and 83. I went back and got all the records that I could find, and that's the building permits and information I submitted to you, but there isn't anything else that survives that. So I don't know whether a mistake was done back then or what happened. I have no idea how this occurred. But quite frankly, again, Mr. Basalmo built this in compliance with the permits, and if a mistake did happen, it appears to be as much a mistake on the county's part as his part. He's tried to comply with everything that was required, but we just don't know what happened back then. The fourth requirement is that the variance will not alter the essential character of the area. Now, the existing character of the area is there's a shopping center there with this parking, and this variance is not going to alter anything. It's going to be exactly the same as it's been. Now, I know there was some opposition at the time that that Mr. Griffin was seeking his liquor license, and people concerned about noise and parking and things of that nature. But this land is zoned commercial. These are permitted uses. And again, it's a permitted use. So the character of the area as far as parking is not going to change one bit. It's going to be identical to what's been there for the past 27 years. And the fifth requirement is that the request is the minimum necessary. 15 is the minimum necessary, and but for the fact that Mr. Bassano owned that property across the street, and but for the fact that it had excess parking there, we wouldn't be able to minimize that at all. But we have taken that effort to minimize that by coming up with the eight parking spaces that I've already mentioned. In addition to that, just some practical observations. The middle store in the shopping center is a shoe store. That traditionally, and that this doesn't mean it always will, but traditionally, the shoe store is closed at 5 p.m. If that continued, then obviously there wouldn't be parking for the shoe store in the evening because it would be closed. So that would lessen the demand in the parking lot. And that, of course, that's the very time that the restaurant would be doing its most business. Fenwick Island is predominantly a residential community, with the exception of Route 1, which is commercial uses. Also, and most people don't know this, but all of Fenwick Island that isn't in the town, all of the unincorporated area of Fenwick Island, is zoned commercial. All of those residential properties are all zoned commercial in the county portion of Fenwick Island. But again, most of that it's used residential. There's a lot of duplexes and things of that nature in the area. But in that residential community, as in Lewis or Rehoboth, there's a lot of foot traffic, a lot of people going to a restaurant, going to some place like that. They walk. They're not going to be driving their cars there. And that's different than the commercial area, say, between Lewis and Rehoboth, where almost everyone who goes there is driving a car there. So there is significant pedestrian traffic in this area that, again, would not demand the use for parking spaces. And I would just state, and I'm not going to get into specifics on this, but from our investigation, there appears to be many other properties, commercial properties in the area, that probably do not comply with the parking requirements in terms of the square footage meeting that. Now, again, these are all probably dating back to the same time as our shopping center, but again, it's not fair or even probably legal to focus on this one shopping center if these problems exist in other places. Obviously, this issue came up because a complaint was filed, and the office is following through on that complaint. But if the law were going to be enforced, it would have to be enforced against all. So ultimately, the purpose of the Board of Adjustment, as you know, is to act as a relief valve on the zoning ordinance, basically, and the land use regulations. And again, not to give away variances, but when it's appropriate, to make sure that justice is done and to avoid unwarranted hardship and practical difficulties when the facts justify that. Now, as I said, both Mr. Bassano, the shopping center owner, and Mr. Griffin, who's trying to open his restaurant, have acted in good faith. Their hands are clean. This isn't a situation where someone knowingly or intentionally did anything. And again, there hasn't been a problem in 27 years, which, again, it makes this bizarre. We need your approval of the application for the reasons explained. And, I wouldn't normally say this, but if you agree with us, we really need your approval immediately. As I said, Mr. Griffin's trying to get this restaurant opened, and his hands are tied right now. He can't open it, and the summer has started. So very significant hardship will result to Mr. Griffin if he can't get his business going. And that's pretty much our request. I do want to ask Mr. Bassano and Mr. Griffin if everything I just said is true and correct to the best of their knowledge.
I agree. Yes.
Okay. As I mentioned, I do have a proposed motion for approval with the condition that I stated that I'll hand in for your consideration. And that would conclude our presentation, other than any questions you might have.
Okay.
guess I'm getting kind of old, but what is Sensations? I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, Sensations is a
T-shirt novelty.
T-shirt, bathing suits.
In some places, they're like on every corner if you've seen them before.
Ocean City.
No, not that.
They opened about 20 years ago.
Okay, are there any further questions or any questions from members of the board at this time? Mr. McCabe? Do you have any questions?
Questions.
Mr. Workman?
Yeah, the extra spaces across the street, will there be signs telling there's parking over there?
Well,
How will you know that there's parking there?
The intention is that have employees park there.
Okay, just employees.
Just employees park there.
Yeah, and that would be, there'd be some sign saying there is extra parking over there, but the idea would be to just try to keep the spaces in the parking lot free for
customers. Employees would be going over there. Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Hudson?
No.
Mr. Mills? Okay. Hearing no questions or further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? 1, 2. Okay. Would you like to speak? Would you please come forward at this time and be sworn in? Sir, would you like to come up also? Again, all those that are in opposition, I would like for you please to come forward at this time to be sworn in.
There was someone who stood up that suggested they were in favor.
Yeah, I got those.
That he stood up that may want to speak.
Okay.
I'd like to speak in favor.
Okay, so maybe we ought to do him first.
Yeah, hold on first. Okay, you can come forward, sir, if you would, please.
I'll be back.
That's okay, ma'am.
Your name and address, sir.
My name is Ron Steen, 107 Parkwood Street, Bethany Beach, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Hi. I just want to speak. I live in Bethany for the last 23 years. I've known Matt for quite a while, and he's been in Bethany for 10 years. Does a terrific job with his restaurant. He left Bethany with the intention, thinking that he had this wonderful plan to open this restaurant, and all of a sudden somebody just cut the legs right out from under him. So I'm pretty sympathetic there. But the lawyer here, I think he missed one thing about the parking, and I'm in favor of this. In Bethany, after 5 o'clock, we have parking problems in Bethany too. And from 9 to 5, you have the beachgoers, and then they go home. And then the people that want to go out to restaurants, they come and park in a residential area. And there are quite a few spaces. Now I'm going to tell you, Fenwick Island Unincorporated has the same kind of makeup. There are residents, there's going to be some foot traffic to this restaurant, but there's going to be some parking spaces on, I don't know the streets there as well as Bethany, but Virginia Avenue, West Virginia Avenue, and all the other incorporated. And they're not restricted. There's no parking meters. There's no permits required. And I think that will take the overload too. So that's about all I wanted to say. And thank you for your time.
You're welcome, sir. Okay, ma'am.
Names and addresses, please.
Frank and Diane Riley, 1014 Bayside Drive, Stevensville, Maryland. We also own a house directly across from this proposed restaurant in Admiral Bridge Condominiums, West Virginia Avenue, unit number 3.
Okay.
Townhouse condominium.
Do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
We do.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ma'am, you go first, please.
I would just like to point out that the stores that were there before the restaurant has come, three of them closed at 5. The liquor store does a very good business in the evening and takes up probably about 6 or 7 parking spaces. The gentleman is going to take up just about every space by the sounds of it, because there are only, 32 spaces there? Two of them belong to the apartment above. He is renting one apartment, but two spaces belong to the two gentlemen who also live above the store. They were talking about spaces on the street on West Virginia Avenue. There is very little parking. There are 3 right outside our condominiums, and that's about it for that street. I don't know if the board ever goes and looks at the properties as a board to see the problems that are going to be caused by their decisions, but I would request that some of them maybe go and look at this and see the actual position. Thank you.
The only other thing I'd like to add is that we've owned this property there for 16 years, so we're familiar with the area as well as other people that have spoken. Admiral's Bridge is a condominium development of 26 townhouses. We have our own limited parking problems, and people park in our parking lot, and that causes us problems. The entrance to our parking lot is on West Virginia Avenue, directly across from this proposed restaurant. Now, the owner of the restaurant, I know he's in a difficult position. He has said that he'll help us out as much as he can. He'll put a sign on our property. But quite frankly, we've had a sign on our property for 10, 15 years now that says private, no parking. Nobody pays any attention to it. So although his intentions are good, I'm not too sure exactly how much good it will do. Parking's just a problem. And I don't know the rules and regulations as well as maybe these lawyers do, but is the parking requirements for a restaurant the same as the parking requirements for a gift shop, liquor store, shoe store, that type of thing? Or is it or should it be more?
The time differences that they're going to be there are certainly different. People would come to they're maybe there half an hour and leave. Obviously, eating dinner is going to take longer. So there is going to be definitely an overlap in park. Thank you, gentlemen, for at least listening to us.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay.
I have
one
more question.
Does that lady, Mr. Fiquet? Mr. Fiquet, would you come forward, please? I have a question for you.
What's the hours will be of the restaurant?
Let me have Mr. Griffin.
11:30 a.m. till 1 o'clock p.m. A.m.
1 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be a bar and everything else in it.
Bar and restaurant, yes, sir. And family restaurant.
What's your seating capacity planning?
I seat 48 people.
48.
From 11 to
10:30 to
10:30
to 1.
11:30 to 1.
11:30 to 1.
And 48 people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes sense. Is there an upstairs apartment in the shopping facility?
Yes, sir. There are two. And I'm renting one of them, so that would alleviate one parking space, which I won't be using.
It's going to be used as an office.
Mm-hmm. Office.
It's going to be used as an office for the restaurant.
Okay. And you only rent one, you say?
The other one's associated with, Matt doesn't control the other one.
No, there's a tenant in the other one.
Just one tenant?
One tenant.
Okay. In one office?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Any further questions? Thank you.
The office did receive a letter from Freddie and Betsy Mitchell in opposition with concerns with the parking and the Quiet Resort neighborhood.
And to kind of address one of the issues that came up, the parking would be the same because it's a shopping center. If it were a separate gift shop versus a separate restaurant, they'd be substantially different. The restaurant would need a lot more parking. But when it's a shopping center like this is, the parking applies to the shopping center as a whole, regardless of the tenants. I think the more troubling question is why the county issued the building permit without the requirement that the parking be taken care of at the outset.
Mm-hmm.
And coming back in at the at the end of the day, creates a significant difficulty, I think, for a for an applicant.
I would think.
Of course, as most of you remember, in 1980, it was a quiet community.
In 85.
See, you're older than I am, if you can remember that, Jim.
I got another question. Was there ever a restaurant in there before?
No.
Nothing ever, no restaurant ever been there before?
No, the actually, there were long-term tenants. Like I said, the liquor store has been there since the 80s, the shoe store has been there since the 80s, and the gift store that was there had been there about 17 years.
Yeah, I didn't know if there was anything there before it got changed or anything.
I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay. Hearing no other opposition, chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we take case number 10,627 under advisement.
Second.
Yeah, I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. McCabe that we take case number 10,627 under advisement. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.